Father in heaven, we're so thankful and so grateful for every good and perfect gift that comes down from you, which you are the Father of light. And you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we're thankful for your gifts. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for everything that represents the goodness that you are, the facts that we live in, that joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, forgiveness, all these wonderful blessings that become part of you that's in us as we grow into your nature and your admonition. We thank you for your constant eyes over the righteous and your ears open to their cry. And Father, we thank you that you are our Father. And Father, we understand that how children need a parent. And you are the greatest parent that's ever been, Father God. We know that you supply every need. You go with us. You know our down settings and our uprisings. You know everything about it even before it happens. And Father, we're just privileged this day to know you in such a wonderful way. We thank you for what Jesus, your Son, that marvelous gift that you give through him, that we might be blessed this day, that we might have our sins reversed for a place that we don't have to worry about those sins that we mounted up. We all was penalized with that at some time. And we thank you that you're working on us continually, that we might be that blessing, that one that would let us light so shine for you, that the world would see the image of Jesus, of the living Christ within us, that we might be that vessel of praise, that we would be that vessel that would be used by your glory. And Father, we just pray for a mighty blessing upon your people this day. We pray for those that's hearing this message by the internet today. We pray that you'd bless them, touch them. If anyone needs forgiveness, we pray that you'll forgive them. Whatever the need is, Father God, we all at times need forgiveness. We all have sins that we just do. We don't understand why we do them, but we do them. Sometimes we're not kind, and that's a problem. Sometimes we're not understanding, and that's a problem. Sometimes these little things become offenses, and we don't even, sometimes when we need to be understanding to someone, we simply just don't want to understand. We're so in thought of ourselves, engrafted into our own selfish ways that we forget to yield that one that needs that special help, that special touch, that gentle touch, and loving them and preferring them above ourselves. Father, in these areas, help us to grow. Let us grow into your nature. Help us follow thy plans. Help us read thy word, your word, because if we abide in you and your word abides in us, we shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Father, we find that our lives are very frail within ourselves. We have no power within ourselves. We're very weak. We're not able to come against the powers of darkness. We're not able to come against anything that's very strong because we're weak, and our strength relies totally upon you this day. And Father, we pray that you'd open the window of heaven and give us all protection this day. Give us guidance. Give us direction. And Father, we just pray that you'd speak to our hearts this day in a very powerful way, in a very direct way. From heaven this day, I pray that this will be coming from the throne room of God. And Father, I pray that all have we come against the powers that cause us to doubt otherwise. We pray that you'll intercede this day in a very powerful way, in a very perfect way. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says the enemy comes to kill, destroy, and steal. His work and what he's trying to do is defeat the Christians. Do away with the people who have committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, to take away their joy, take away their peace, take away that perfect connection they have with God, that they no longer feel that joy. They lose all response with the Lord God in heaven. And that's a time that's coming up very soon because the Bible gives mention of it many places. In Thessalonians, it talks about it. In 2 Thessalonians, and then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. See, the enemy has a lot of power. He has, in our natural carnal state, as we come in this world without God's help, he's very powerful. The only way that we become even be able to come against him is in by the move of God's mighty spirit, by the spirit of God being clothed with righteousness, clothed with the articles that God is. And that's why it's so has to, we have to desire that those gifts upon us, that we might be a workable product that God can use for His glory, because in the weakness of ourselves, and we allow God to come our lives and take over, He can take our weakness to become power through Him. And that's all He's looking for, is someone that's just got just basically a voice. You know, when you get to the level that you only got a voice, you know, you can't, you can get, say in life, you get to where you can't hardly anything but talk. That's what God desires in us, that we come to that place, that everything that we think we can do within our muscles and all of our things, that we're come to the end of our way. And our way says, Lord, You just take over from now on. And God says, I'll use You that way. So we have to come the end of ourselves, all of us, before God can really move upon us. We got to come. There's something about the mortal person. There's something within us all to prove ourselves unto God. But that's not the way God wishes. We're to exactly let Him do the opposite, that He will be the center of our lives. The enemy comes to set himself, the Bible said, in the last hour, to come against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, the Lord showed me something so gigantic that many of us don't realize that the enemy works within ourselves. And he lets us produce goodness, because all he cares about the latter end of our life. We can have our own way for a while. It's like you can go down and buy things on account. We got to remember there's a day of payday has got to take place. Well, that's what he does. You can go down to his bank and he'll say, sure, I'll just let you have all this fun. I'll let you do your thing. You can be famous in your church. You can do all these things. But there's going to be a payday. Not payday, but he don't even tell you about the payday. But God says that every person is appointed unto God. Man wants to die, then comes the judgment. It's appointed on us to basically all of us to seek God. And one day to see God face to face. What a horrible thing for some people. It's going to be a hard day. It's going to be a day that they've never felt before. And because the activity of the enemy has come to disturb them in such a way that they don't realize they need the Savior, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came to set us free. He came that we would not be no longer in bondage. We would no longer be the partakers of the events of this world, but we'd learn to come to that place of obedience through God's Spirit. We might walk upright before God in this last hour, having power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. And in Isaiah, the 10th chapter, I believe, in the 27th verse, if the anointing breaks forth the yoke. The anointing is the power of God that God showed me this day. The anointing is what helps. Last night, it was the anointing of God that came down. The anointing of God healed those people. It wasn't me. It wasn't nobody else. It's the anointing of God. And God has a people that will come and says, I wish to be your little zero. God say, I'm going to use you mightily because I'm going to anoint you with my anointing. And my anointing breaks forth the yoke. It does the work that you cannot do within yourself. Now you just have to relax and you no longer lean on thine own understanding. We want to so many times lean in our own understanding. But see, we have to acknowledge God that He is God. He is the true and the living God. But this is actually a parallel of Satan. And this is the part that I pray that everybody will understand. Satan has got into the church in such a way that no one knows it. He's been there from the very beginning. And we should have enough of God's Spirit within us that we could actually discern where the problems are, and we would know, because it's not us, but the Spirit of God would be living in us, but it's come to the substance, a height, a depth in the enemy that we can't overtake it now. It's overtaken God's people. And God's people are subject to these powers. The Lord spoke to me this day that any time that we're against any way from God, we're actually going toward Satan. The Lord showed me this within 2 hours ago. When we get anywhere and we're away from God, we're actually going to the enemy. That's the way we're made. We're made that way. We're not devil-possessed, but we're actually going down over the wrong way. And that's why we have to learn to come to the obedience of God. We're all subject to the downfall from the enemy. He comes to kill, destroy, and to steal, but God has come to give us life and give us more abundant life. But there is a desire in our heart that has to be mandatory constantly, that I'm going to constantly observe the things of God, for if I don't, I will miss something, and that missing for a slight second, I can detour my walk to the way that my eyes are left off of my God.
And God's looking for us in these last days to be overachievers in God, not underachievers, that we'll overachieve, that we'll be that follower that are constantly abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll be constantly desiring His power, desiring to be live for Him in righteousness, that we would no longer want to live in our vile thinking, our things that bring us down to a low place, that we cannot achieve the things from the living God. God's bringing us to a place of being achievers in this last hour. When there's difficult times, when that's when God's people must be alive and on fire for God, alive unto God, but dead in the sin. We need to be the achievers that will live in victorious living. But Satan has come to the church. He's come because he gets the church. He has a great stronghold on God's blessings. Because God called the church for His church. His church was given because of His Son. His church has a great influence on all life. And if the enemy can come in this last hour and distort the things or the calling of the church, he's done a great hard and heavy work. He comes to shape and bring havoc to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must realize that we are the vessels that can be used to come against that power. And the only way that you can do that is being on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that Satan is more powerful than we are, but with God, we're more powerful. And the only way that we ever have power is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we have to abstain from every appearance of evil. We have to cast off every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the Spirit of God, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the aim of the church, that all those things, we will be that one that will achieve for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we realize that our mission upon earth is not getting out here and really getting people saved, which is powerful. But the churches can do that. And we need to have those that are so deep in the Lord that they can change principalities, they can bring powers, they can change the direction, the tides come gripping into this land, bringing hardness upon God's beloved, that they can change this because of their relationship with God the Father. And this means the Spirit of God becomes active within these ones. And there's a great work for God's people to do. There's a great promises at this last hour that God's going to work mightily upon His people. There's going to be signs and exploits. This last night we seen about signs and exploits, how that a young man who had been prayed for a month ago, that how he was an epileptic. And I guess every day he had seizures. But for a month now, till last night, he has no seizures. And God opened an eye. He had a blind eye. Opened his blind eye. And so far as the ear had been deaf, how he hears now. Now these are the signs and wonders that God's talking about. Also, that's only the lesser part. The heavier part is people being freed from the thing that has them bound, that they might be set free and be no longer partakers of the old man, but they would walk in the newness of life and God's Spirit, that they would be attractive to the Spirit of God, that God would see them as a vessel for Him. He would see them transforming, actually a worker of iniquity, into an angel of God, a child of God. But the angel is just a similarity, that we would be that vessel, as an angel is of God, that we would be that vessel shining forth in the atmosphere. An angel is directed truly by God. There's devil angels. We don't model ourselves after angels, but we should do same work as Jesus did. That we'd have the spirit of brightness upon us. We would have the luster of glory upon us. That we'd be led by His Spirit, being determined, whatever comes or goes, that I'm going to go God's way. I'm going to walk in His Spirit, that I will no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh. And where the great problem is the Spirit of God is not part of the churches. God was showing me this, and I know it's right. There's no great power through the Spirit. This is sad. It's sad to see that God, He designed it. Jesus said it's needful. Jesus said it's needful that I go away. But if I go away, I will send the Comforter, and He will reprove the world of sin and lift up my name. And He will bring signs and wonders upon His people. And His people, after about so many years, start going back where they came from. The early church, that's the way it started, really powerful. But within probably 100 years, it declined, went down backwards. The church, the 1800s, the Lord was showing me that how it's arrived and how it started well, and how in the 1900s the Spirit of God moved upon the early church and signs and wonders came through, and people of low understanding received power, received powerful grace that they would be upright people. And then they got to the place about 50 years later where they wanted to be like their brothers. They no longer wanted to have that taste of the glory of God. They wanted to be like the other church. They wanted to have stained windows. They wanted to have houses, churches, facilities that they had the best church in town. And the Lord was showing me that this is the part that brings us down. We have to have things as we become competitive. We've lost the mark. We've lost the cause, lost the direction. We should be in a place of compassion. We should be in a place of understanding that that's not by the Spirit of God that one's going to go out to eternal hell. And we should be desirous to help that one, bring them back to come to safety, that they will no longer go to that painful direction where they'll live there eternally forever and ever and ever. And us, God's people, do not have that in their heart. They do not have that in their heart. And God wishes that we would instill it in their heart, that we would be a vessel longing for God. We had people that used to travail in prayer. We'd travail till the sons of God came forth, the anointing of God. And we have people no longer than they want to travail. They don't want to really do the work of God. They want to do, have the form of God, but denying His power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away, because why God says it, such turn away, the influence of that activity that's in them, if it keeps going on, they will continually slide back to the place that they cannot regroup. They cannot advance. The armor, they come to a place where they're in defeat. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ this day is in a place and need to regroup. They need to call upon God. They need to seek Him. They need to praise Him. But they need to desire what He has for them. If the power of the Holy Ghost is the power that we need this last time, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to call it, God wants you to be so full, so desirous, that nothing can take away your walk with Him, that you will come in that place pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in victory, walking in alliance with the Spirit of God. We walk far from God. 2 days ago, the Lord was showing God Enoch. Enoch got real close to God. Enoch wanted to do what God wished. And Enoch didn't ask for his own selfish way. He asked what God, that's what we need to get to that place. That we ask, Lord, what do you want me to do this hour, this moment? But we forget about it. We go home in our beds. We lay down, oh, everything is just comfortable. Lord, you're coming, but we forget that God wants us to be that vessel that chooses life, that chooses to be separate, that walk no longer in iniquity, but walking in truth. Walking in blessings, but living to hear that inner voice say, my child, get up this night and do this. And we respond, do this, my child. We don't hear those. Our minds are not there. Our minds are on doing things. And God has been put on the sideline because the enemy is too powerful. With that kind of mentality, we can't make it. We got to come higher. And that's why that there's going to be a great falling away in the last hour. And the enemy looks up there and sneers and just so happy because he has caused this. But we need to take the advantage that God's given us. We're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. I'm persuaded neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities things present neither height nor depth nor any other creature. Any other creature. The enemy is a creature. No other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. God wants to fight our fight, but we don't ask God to fight our fight. We say, oh, I'm so good. The Bible says, in Revelation, it says, what's wrong with the church? The church says, well, we got everything. He says, you fool. You need me. Oh, we've got it all. And this last hour, God's people have it all. They think they've got it all, but they have no spirit. There is no renewing of their mind. We got to renew this mind every day of our life. We got to come to that place. Take away all the cobwebs. Take away everything that separates me from the love of God. Bring me in that place of perfect separation. And I have news for all of you, myself also. We got to seek God to make it. There's going to be an empty heaven if we don't. We need to take great concern what we're facing. Because we're facing a time when Jesus is coming through the clouds of glory. He can come this day. And if He rings those golden bells, as people say, a lot of us is going to be missing it. We're going to be missing that day, and one of the ones that's missing are not going to an intermediate place. We're going down a slope, and that slope puts us into a place of no return. And it's sad. God's here with his hands loving you, strengthening you. Come, my people, come to me, casting all your cares upon me, for I care for you. My people, come, seek me, and ye shall find me. I turn none down. But people, where are you? My people don't really want my spirit, says the Spirit of God. They're content in doing their own works. They're content in hearing from their pastor. These things are all right within themselves, but they're not enough, says my spirit. For I'm here in this hour. I'm here in this time. I'm here in this time frame because I say very shortly, there shall be no time, and time shall be dissolved. And I say at that time, thou will no longer have time to even make a decision. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to make a decision. Now is the day to act on what I've given you. And I say very shortly, this time of decision will not be here no longer. You'll be in a time frame that everything is put in a capsule sealed for eternity. And that sealing of eternity, it means what you've done for the Lord is what it's done. It's going to say exactly what you've done. And you'll stand accountable, says the Spirit of God. You'll stand and as a witness where you've lived deliberately against the Spirit of God, having your own selfish ways, doing as the enemy comes to take permission and to come against the things of this world. He comes permitting the people of God would never walk in the Spirit of God. He comes against the things of God. He's here to distract which God has given us. My people, thou must arise above these. Thou must arise and hear the words of the living God, for I shall have chosen thee. I've pled day after day, momently, and I know this coming is very soon, and it saddens the eyes of the Lord God to see his beloved not ready. Be ready, my people, be ready, for I'm coming soon. I say the enemy is going to have a day when he's appointed to be put in that pit. My people, thou dost not want to go with him. He is the avenger, the accuser of the brethren. He comes to accuse you, my ones, but thou must be bigger, because thou art able to cause 1,000 to come in thy tower. 10,000, I will give my people authority over the powers of heaven and over the powers of earth. And I shall give thee power over the powers of darkness that comes against my church. Walk in victory, and I shall give thee an overcoming power. I shall give you a strength. It will make the journey, and when thou crosses over, thou shalt be found, and thou shalt say, I'm so glad that I went by God's way. I'm so glad that I live in the glory of my God. I am so glad. This day thou must see my people. Are you glad that you know the living God? Are you glad that he is your Savior? Are you excited because he is the way, the truth, and life? Are you excited because you're walking in his presence? You're not hid any place you come upon this earth. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Spirit of God is here to bless you this day. God's here to make his face to shine upon you, to be gracious upon you, give your leadership, give you a cause for life itself. We ask this in the name of, oh, Jesus, bless your people this day. I feel the Spirit of God here in such an awesome way. I can't hardly describe what I feel. But the enemy comes to kill, destroy, and steal. But God has come to give you more abundant life. He has given you power over death, grave, and hell. He has given you authority. He's given you authority. Stand strong, Lord. Be strong, Lord. The power might put you on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. That's the call of the church to be having done all to stand. Stand, my people. Stand. Call upon me. Don't cave yourself into the things of this world, but make yourself rigid against the landfall, the imps that shall come upon you, that thou might stand victorious even after they've hit you left to right, top to bottom, whatever way, that you're more than conquerors to the powers that come against you. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray this for your people this night. I pray, bless your people. Father, I pray in the mighty name. Father, I don't even know what's going on. I'm so, glory to God, you're here. And I give my heart totally this time. My tongue is so heavy. Father, I know there's problems. And we need the activity of the Spirit of God to be alive within us. Hence, he is the answer. He is
the bearer. He is the keeper. He is the bearer of our life, our journey. He is the one that was to present us holy at that day when the bride of Christ goes into heaven. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is here this day, and he has been put off. He has been put over in the rear corner of our places. He comes as nobody, but I guarantee you, he is everything. He is God himself. He's here, and we do him so much harm. But there's going to be a day when he's going to react, and his spirit's going to take up for those who have come against him. And those that come against him are going to be in a precarious place. They're going to be a place of not having a good follow-up return. They will have a place of dedication, of harm's way that will be sold as a pitfall for them for eternity. Wake up, my people. Wake up, for I am calling my people. Wake up. Wake up, because the enemy is coming as a flood against my church. But I say, beyond that, I'm coming through the clouds of glory. And when I come, will I find grace upon this earth? Will I find those that are ready? But I say, that day is coming very shortly. And that day there will be no longer time to go down and pray again. There will no longer be time to go down and see what's going on your TV set. Because at that time, heaven will be started. Everything that's in this earth will come into that place when that clock starts ticking. And the Antichrist comes down for that 7-year period. It's going to be a colossal event. A terrible time. My people need to be gone at that time. But my people, many, will find themselves here. And it's going to be a disturbing time. A time of judgment. A time of problems. A time of disasters. A time of epidemics. Time of troubles has ever been seen. My people need to be ready because my people will be not active here no longer. They'll be gone. They'll be vacated. They'll be in heaven when this takes place. My people, wake up, said the Spirit of God.